All right, if you got your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 1 is where we're going to go. I see Vanessa wants to go to junior church. So maybe they'll see more. Look, even Boone's going to junior church. Anybody else want to go? Oh, yeah, Brother Chris is going to go. He's talking to Boone. So trying to find out. They might have just a coup back there. 1 Samuel chapter 1, let's stand. We're going to read a few verses this morning. It's good to be in church. It's good to be here this morning. Good to see all you folks. It's always a blessing to be able to see you. And I've been praying for everybody all week that you stay healthy. And hopefully you're praying for folks to get through things. 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathane Zophim of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and he Pathrite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice on the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when he went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh and after she had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we are grateful to be here. We're thankful for this place that you've provided for us to be able to come. We know, Lord, there's many places around this country, around the world, where people don't have a place to come. They don't have a church that's like-minded, where they believe the book, that they preach the book. So, Lord, we're very blessed in that regard. We pray for Brother Josh this morning and Brother Luke as they preach in their respective pulpits today. Just pray that you'd encourage them and guide them and direct them, Lord, in the messages they give, that you might minister to the people that are there to hear these things. We pray for us this morning, Lord, that you would be especially with Brother Jerry and Miss Connie, with Brother Brad and Miss Judy, that you just continue to be with their health and strengthen them, Lord, and bring them back to 100%, get them back in church. We pray for those that have been out, Lord, that you would just give them strength to get back in church, Lord, that they wouldn't fear, Lord, things that they ought not to fear, but, Lord, just get back here to get under the preaching, get some encouragement. Ask, Lord, that you take me and set me aside, wash me in the blood, hide me behind the cross, Lord, this morning. Pray that the words that come out of my mouth would be only used for the edifying of your people, rebuke where it's necessary, but most of all, Lord, that Jesus Christ would be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. 1 Samuel chapter 1 is an amazing chapter. It's really, if you're looking for a chapter of Scripture where someone is truly looking to get hold of the Lord, 1 Samuel chapter 1 is the chapter. If you want a good explanation throughout the book of just an ordinary person that's going through some extraordinary things and they need to get hold of the Lord, you have some great examples here found in this passage. The amazing thing is in the time of Israel, in that time, I'll show you a little bit about the state of the country, the state of the people. Bible says that they came together, Elkanah and his family, and they went up out of their city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. That's very important because in Scripture they were supposed to go up three times a year, and something happened so that they're only going once a year. Again, when you think about worship and you think about serving the Lord, people generally digress. They don't always go forward and do the things that they ought to. And praise the Lord, they went once a year, but they were missing the fact that they were supposed to go twice a year. So ultimately, they were being disobedient, and yet they went and they offered their sacrifices and they did the things that they were supposed to do. But you find that Hannah here is a woman that has great travail about herself. And she is a woman that's going through great sadness. She has a lot of adversity going on. And she, as many people do, are going to the Lord and she wants to have some things answered. She wants a prayer answered. It's a serious prayer. It's important to her. She wants a child. That's her request. She goes to the temple there and she goes to pray. And as she's praying, here's the high priest watching her. And he's watching her pray and she's not saying anything, but he sees her mouth move and he thinks she's drunk. And being the great man of God he is, he goes and accuses her of being drunk. Now imagine in 2020, imagine in 21st century America, you ladies come to church to pray and the preacher accuses you to be drunk. What would your response be? Your response would be picking yourself up and going out the door and leaving. That would be your response. You talk about preachers being uncouth. I don't know how much more uncouth you can get than that. But notice that that doesn't deter her. She then tells Eli what's going on, the prayer that she is desiring. And of course, he gives her the answer that she wants to hear. What you find in 1 Samuel chapter 1 is an illustration of someone that just wants to get alone and get a hold of God. And they're willing to go to great lengths for it to happen. If you're saved and you've been saved for any period of time, you need to have some examples in your own life about you getting alone with God and God doing something. You need to have those examples. You need to have those testimonies. These illustrations are not just in the Bible, just so you have something to read, so you can find some encouragement. They're daily examples of God getting hold of people because they got hold of Him. But they got hold of Him because they got alone with Him. Now, in the day and age we live in, people don't like being alone. You think in 2020, with all the opportunities that people have had for this quarantine and self-quarantine and being able to work from home and do, you would think people would have more time getting hold of God and getting alone with the Lord because they got more opportunity to be alone. But they're not. It's all the devices that we have. We're all tied into the devices, the phones, the computers, the internet, the TVs, all the things that, radios, that keep us from ever being alone with the Lord. You say, well, I'm using it to listen to preaching, or I'm using it to listen to good singing. That's great, but are you getting alone with the Lord? If you're not getting alone with the Lord, how are you ever going to see prayers answered? How are you ever going to see something take place? I know sometimes we think that we got to get alone for hours with the Lord. That's not always the case. Sometimes just having a special time that you just have yourself getting away from everything and you're just getting with the Lord and just doing some talking and praying and seeking the Lord's direction in your life. All of us need to get that time. Here in this example, you find Hannah here getting alone with the Lord. And you would think that it's because she wants a child. But there's something more deeper to this passage. You see, not only does she want a child, and not only has she desired this for quite some time, because here her husband has another wife, and she has multiple children, sons and daughters, and she is shut up. her womb is shut. She has nothing. And her desire is to have this child. And notice that the problem is that she begins to get sorrowful. It's not just that she doesn't have a child now. She's going through times of adversity, verse 6. She's going through times where she's fretting. She's going through times where she's being provoked. She's going through times where she's weeping and not eating. It's affecting her emotions. It's affecting her in such a way that she is depressed and sorrowful because things are not going the way that she thinks it ought to be. There's an amazing verse here, and men, you should pay attention to this because it gives you some real good hard facts. Verse 5, the Bible says, Elkanah gave Hannah a worthy portion, for he loved her. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Notice down to verse 8, then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? This woman is going through some things that unless you've been in this place, you won't understand, but she's in a place of sorrow and depression, and unfortunately, a simple truth is this, just because someone loves you, it doesn't mean you're going to get over your problem. Hannah's husband loved her. There was no doubt that he loved her. Matter of fact, he loved her so much that he gave to her more than to the other wife. He couldn't understand why she could not get over her sadness, over her discouragement, over her depression. Sometimes we as men are thick-headed and we think that love can solve all the problems. Haven't I been good to you? Haven't I done enough for you? But the fact of the matter is that no amount of love that you give to someone can cure depression, can cure sadness, can cure discouragement. So she realizes she's got to go to the Lord. She goes to the Lord and she goes to Him and lays some things out. And the reason why she's in this bad state, this miserable state, you might say, is because all this time she's been provoked. Verse 6, her adversary. I mean, you got two wives and now the one wife is an adversary. She's got children. Sons and daughters running around. I don't know how the living situation is, if they're all under one roof. I don't know. I can't again to begin to imagine this. But I know this, that the woman here is causing her to fret and causing her to have issues, and she's provoking her. And the result of her provoking her is bringing her to her lowest place spiritually. That's what the adversary does. The adversary attacks you when you're at your lowest place. He wears you out. And notice that she's fretting over something. And what she's fretting over is found in verse 6. Because the Lord shut her womb. You know, there's going to be times in your life where the Lord does something. And He shuts the door. He does not open it. He does not give you the request of your heart. Regardless of what you're going through, the Lord loves you, He cares for you, and no matter what you're going through, sometimes to you it's not enough. I mean, you would think the Lord loving you would be enough. And notice how she knows who the blame is. Now, she's not blaming God. I don't read that in the passage, but she knows the Lord shut her womb. Do you realize that it's only through getting close to the Lord that you can realize that God's doing things? Not everybody sees the Lord's hand in things. You understand that there are things that go on in your life that sometimes it's just God. And He shut the door and He's not letting things happen because He wants something to happen with you. And part of what He's trying to do is to get your attention. He's trying to get you to come to a place where you get alone with Him. Because you will not solve the problem of depression, and you will not solve the problem of sadness, and you will not solve the problem of the doldrums just because someone loves you and takes care of you. Sometimes it's just coming to the Lord and just getting hold of Him. And if you don't, you're going to spiral down. Notice verse 7. This went on not just 1 year, but year by year. Year by year it went on. And it just wasn't year by year. She was being provoked every year, all year long. And she didn't weep, or she wept and didn't eat. That's her spiritual state. She's spiraling out of control. You say, what has to happen? She's got to get hold of the Lord. It's not that she hasn't prayed before. She'd been praying. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes the only thing you can do is just keep praying until you get hold of the Lord. Notice there in this same chapter, she goes before the Lord and prays one more time. She makes this vow. She wants to get hold of the Lord. She wants to see something change in her life. She needs to fix the problem. She sees that. She sees that this weeping and this depression and this discouragement and this sorrow cannot continue. And only the Lord can fix it. So she goes before the Lord, makes a vow, and of course you know the rest of the story. The Lord gets, she gets hold of him. And when she gets hold of the Lord gives her an answer. And the answer that she gets is, all right, you're going to have a child. The Lord's going to bless you. And notice what happens when she gets hold of the Lord. Verse 18, so the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Notice sometimes the only way for you to remove the spiritual roadblocks is for you to get hold of God. You say, well, the Lord didn't answer me. Maybe he doesn't see you're being serious. Maybe you haven't gone the distance yet. Maybe you've been praying, but you've not gotten alone with him. You've not gotten hold of him. The Lord knows what's going on. All of us here certainly have to admit that God has been good to us. No matter what you go through, how can you complain about God's goodness to you? Whatever he allows you to go through. But that does not mean you don't get hold of him. It doesn't mean that you don't have to shake heaven's door. Now, what kind of testimony do you have of getting hold of the Lord? Oftentimes, we try to get hold of the Lord when it's selfishness, selfish reasons. You say, well, that isn't her reason, a little selfish, maybe. She wants a child. She sees the Lord shuts the womb. She knows that nothing can change unless the Lord gets in it. So what's she do? She keeps shaking heaven's door. She keeps praying. And by the time she's done, she gets hold of the Lord, and the Lord answers her prayer. And then you see later on there in verses 19 and 20 through, you see, and you get over to chapter 2, you see her exalt the Lord. One of the great prayers in the scripture about God and his goodness and about how the Lord has given her victory. That's a testimony. You see, you're going to go through things. You're going to suffer some things emotionally. You're going to suffer some things in your spiritual life. And if you don't get hold of the Lord, you're going to miss out. And you're going to be in this constant state of depression, and you're not going to eat. And when I say you're not going to eat, it's not about the food or the lunch. You're going to get out of the Bible. You won't read anymore. And then you won't pray anymore. You need to get hold of the Lord, because getting alone with the Lord and getting hold of him is the only way to overcome that depression and that roadblock. Now, I'm not saying that all depression is the result of that. Some things are clinical, I understand. Some folks got problems that are medical, I understand that. But you realize most of our problems are the result of problems. Most of our spiritual roadblocks we go through is because of what we're going through. And we get discouraged, and simply you need to get hold of the Lord. Look at Genesis chapter 32. So you need to get hold of the Lord when you're going through an emotional roadblock, some sort of trouble there, a spiritual problem, depression. Again, always remember that it doesn't matter how good things are, that does not mean it's going to take the problem away. Only the Lord can. Genesis 32. Here's Jacob. Jacob is in a position here where he has left his father-in-law and has taken his family, and he's heading home. And the great problem that he knows he's going to have to face is he's going to have to face Esau. Last time he was there, he had ripped off Esau. He had taken advantage of him. And it wasn't the first time he had taken advantage of him. He took something from him. He stole that blessing. And he knew that God had told him, listen, he's going to kill you. You need to get out of there. So he leaves. He goes to the family. Of course, you know what happens. He meets his wife. He ends up getting married and then gets married again and then gets two more wives. Ends up with 12 children, 12 sons, one daughter. Ends up with all of his father-in-law's goods. And then says he's going to leave town. I guess you better leave town if you end up with everything. And as he leaves, he knows that got to pay the debtor. Something's going to have to happen. So what does he do? He has to get alone with the Lord. He gets alone with the Lord because he needs to really get hold of him because he's in a time of need. If he doesn't get hold of the Lord at this case, in the situation he's in, he's going to have some real problems. So in Genesis chapter 32, we read verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, why, or what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Everyone is familiar with Jacob wrestling with the Lord. We're all familiar with that story. It's a great story to think that Jacob wrestles with the Lord and gets something from him. You understand that wrestling is a sport that takes a lot of effort. If you ever wrestled, I wrestled in high school, you watch college wrestling, not this stuff that they have on TV today. That's not wrestling. That's all entertainment. Real wrestling takes effort. I mean, you're 3 minutes of grappling and struggling and twisting and tying and resisting and trying to overcome your opponent. That's what wrestling is. That's what Jacob does. He wrestles with the Lord. I want to ask you, when was the last time you wrestled with the Lord to get an answer? When was the last time you wrestled? You know how much effort it takes to wrestle? The moment you give in, you lose. The only way to overcome is not to give in. It doesn't matter what kind of hold they have you in. The moment you let up is the moment they get victory. And your opponent either wants to wear you out or get you to tap out. Isn't that what the devil does? He wants to wear you out. So you try to get hold of the Lord. Notice that as Jacob tries to get hold of the Lord and he wrestles with him, he gets hold of the Lord and he's really wrestling at it. And he realizes this, that he needs to get some submission in his life. Notice the first thing the Lord does when he's trying to get hold of him, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, that's the Lord. Just think about that. Imagine the testimony that Jacob had as a man wrestling with the Lord, and he wasn't prevailing. In the flesh, here's the Lord wrestling with this man, and this man's not quitting. So you know what he has to do? He has to hurt him. He touches his thigh. Now his thigh goes out of joint as he wrestled with him. My point is this, when you get alone with the Lord, you need to bring about some submission. See, when you try to get hold of the Lord, it's not about winning. It's about you submitting. It's about the Lord realizing that you want some answers from him, but you're willing to submit and yield to him. Until Jacob yielded, it was just going to be a continual fight. You know what I'm trying to say this morning is, if you're going to try to get alone with the Lord and you're going to pray, maybe you need to learn to submit. Maybe the Lord's trying to get you alone and trying to show you where there's something in your life that you need to submit to Him. And no matter how much you pray, it isn't going to matter until you submit to Him. Quit fighting Him. Quit resisting Him. You got hold of Him. Now submit to Him. Yield yourself to Him. You realize that when you get hold of the Lord, it shows you got determination. It shows that you mean business, but you have to submit. No matter how much you pray and no matter how long you pray, maybe the Lord's trying to show you something. When was the last time you just submitted to the Lord's will? Just submitted to His hand? Why is it that the Lord oftentimes has to touch us to change us? Do you realize that Jacob could have submitted without being touched? The Lord said, "Let me go." And He said, "I'm not letting you go till you bless me." Do you realize that Jacob could have said, "Okay." But he had to be touched. So I want the touch of the Lord. Do you really want the touch of the Lord? Do you realize what the touch of God meant to him? It left a continual mark on him until he died. I mean, I think about Jacob. He must have been a strong man. To think that here, I mean, he's got 12 kids. He's got, or 13 children. He's not a young guy anymore. You realize that he's up in age. I mean, he could very well be in his, 45, 50 years old. I mean, here he's wrestling with the Lord. And the only way the Lord gets hold of him is to touch him and cause him to be wounded. Some of you, that's the testimony you have. The Lord had to hurt you to get your attention. He got your attention, but why is it that we have to have a mark on us? Why is it we can't just wrestle with the Lord and realize that, you know what, if He touches me, He's going to change me, and this change is going to be a lasting change, and you didn't have to have the lasting change. You could have changed just by submitting. How many times does the Lord have to touch us and break us? When we didn't have to be broken. But we're resilient. That's what we call it. God calls it rebellious. You think you're resilient because you can endure things and you can withstand things, and the Lord's just trying to get you to quit. He's trying to get you to submit. And I realize that Jacob knows that he has to get hold of the Lord. And I realize that Jacob knows that God has got to give him strength for what's coming, because chapter 33 is what's coming next. And that means he's going to meet up with Esau. But you know what? He didn't have to go out and halt upon that thigh. I mean, there's no hip replacements anymore. I mean, there's no surgery for this man. That means the rest of his life, he's going to halt upon that leg. And it's going to be a constant reminder, not that he got victory over the Lord. It's going to be the constant reminder that the Lord had to really touch him to get hold of him. Remember how the Lord had to touch Job to get hold of him? And the Lord said, Job won't defy me. He won't curse me. He won't blame me. But boy, the Lord had to touch him to show Job his self-righteousness. I don't want the Lord to have to touch us to be able to see things. But you do have to get alone with them. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. You need to see some changes in your life, and you need to get alone with the Lord to get those changes. When you get alone, make sure He doesn't have to hurt you. Why have the testimony? You hear many a story of people that the Lord almost had to kill them to get their attention. What a shame. You think that's what the Lord wants to do? No. You think the Lord wants to strip you of everything to get your attention? No. He wants to get your attention when you try to get hold of Him. 1 Kings chapter 19, here's Elijah. Everybody's familiar with this passage. The great prophet Elijah. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he arose, he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. You say, what's the problem with Elijah? He needed to get alone with God because he was all wore out. You say, what wore him out? A letter. A letter from Jezebel. The threat of being killed. I mean, here he is. He just got victory over all the prophets of Baal. He prays to the Lord and fire comes down from heaven and takes up the sacrifice. Then he prays to the Lord and the rain comes. What a spiritual giant. And even the spiritual giant needs to get along with the Lord because he's just plumb wore out. He can't take any more. You ever been to that place? You ever been to the place where you just can't take any more? I mean, one more thing is going to be the straw that broke the camel's back, and you can't take it. We in the flesh can only handle so much. You can only take so much physically. You can only take so much mentally where you get to the point where you are just ready to give up. And you need to get hold of the Lord when you're in that place. Nobody wants to get to that place. And sometimes it happens at the most inopportune time. He should be walking on cloud nine at this point. And yet in the midst of a great victory, in the midst of God all over it, he's all of a sudden worn out. He has nothing more to give. He's given it all. There's nothing more he can do. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to give up. You ever been in that place? You know, he goes and he gets hold of the Lord and he says, Lord, I'm ready to die. He's just ready to quit. Do you realize that the Lord doesn't want you to quit? He wants to give you the strength to go forward. That's what you get when you get alone with the Lord. The Lord doesn't give you the validation to quit. He says, you need to go forward. When Paul has the thorn in the flesh and he goes to the Lord three times to have it removed, then the Lord tells him, listen, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then Paul says, okay, Lord, if your grace is sufficient, I'm going to take that. It's enough for me. It'll strengthen me to go forward. But sometimes when you get alone with the Lord, it isn't always that way. You don't always like what the Lord shows you. Fact of the matter is, sometimes giving up seems like the easy way. How many times people have given up because they're just tired of fighting? They're tired of taking the stand. They're tired of resisting. And the Lord says, you just got to continue a little bit longer. You realize when you look at 1 Kings chapter 19, it's not too many chapters later that you get into 2 Kings and the Lord's taking them up. I realize some time has gone by, but the point is that the best is yet to come. He gets hold of the Lord because he's just wore out. And sometimes you just need to get hold of the Lord because you can't refresh yourself on your own. You've tried. You've done everything you can. You've been the spiritual giant. You've overcome things. You've got testimonies of the Lord doing great things. But just because you have testimonies of God doing great things in your life doesn't mean you don't get wore out. Every one of us does. And it doesn't matter how much, you can only take so much. You need to get hold of the Lord because you need to be refreshed. And notice how the Lord knows that. The Lord knows exactly what he needs. So the Bible says as he comes to the Lord and he prays and asks the Lord to take him, he lays down and he sleeps and then an angel shows up and the Lord gives him some food and gives him some water. He knows just what you need. You know what you need? You need to get some rest and some sustenance. Sometimes rest and sustenance changes everything. A good sleep, a good night's sleep, and a good meal the next day, you can go right back at it if you let the Lord help you. Now the point is this, is that if you don't get some rest, if you don't come apart like the Lord's trying to get you to come apart, you'll burn out. One time he told the disciples, he says, come apart. Just come apart with me. You need to come apart. You need to get hold of the Lord because you need that refreshing. Notice he gives them the food there. He gives them that bread. He gives them that water, a picture of the Word of God, a picture of the Holy Spirit. He gets a hold of the Lord, and the Lord feeds them, and he says, okay, this food here, you got to have this food because this journey is too great for you. What you're about to go through is more than you can handle, so here, let me give you something to get you going, and then I'm going to give you the rest later. But you need this. Whatever it was that he gave him, that bread and that water there, was enough to sustain him for 40 days and 40 nights of no food. Do you think that his sadness and his being wore out just went away all of a sudden? No. 40 days later, the Lord says to him, Elijah, what doest thou here? Lord asks him, okay, it's been 40 days. No food, no water. The still small voice shows up and he says, what are you doing here? Verse 14, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of Israel because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left and they seek my life to take it away. You know what the Lord will do when you're all wore out and you come to him and you pour out all of your sorrows and your sadness and your grief? He listens to you. He'll listen to what you have to say. But here's the problem. You want the Lord to listen to what you have to say, but you don't want to listen to what he has to say. You see, you get along with the Lord, you want to pour out all your complaints and pour out all your griefs, and you want to lay them all out. You got them on paper. You say, here's the problem. There's nothing wrong with laying your complaints out to the Lord. Matter of fact, it's a good thing. If you got them, lay them out. But here's the problem. You get hold of the Lord because you're all wore out. You better be ready to listen to his answers. Notice the Lord's answer. The Lord said unto him, go. No compassion, man. No sympathy. The Lord says, go. He says, I'm not done with you yet. See, sometimes we think the Lord's all done with us. We're all washed up. The Lord never do anything again with us. We've messed it up now. And we get hold of him, and the Lord lets you lay it all out, and he lets you say everything that's so bad. I mean, you look at what he has to say. I mean, it's pretty much the statement of what's going on in the country. And he says, go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meloah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Notice what the Lord tells him. He says, I know you're wore out. I know you've been through some things. He feeds him. He takes care of him. And then he says, go. Go. Here's the answer. See, sometimes when you get hold of the Lord, what he's just going to simply do is he's going to tell you, I'm not done with you yet. You can't quit. There's no quitting in the Lord's work. There's no giving up. You say, why? Because he is sufficient to give you the strength when you're wore out. You know what happens after this? Elijah gathers his stuff together and he goes. That little pep talk he got there was enough to get him going, and he went and he finished. And he finished well. But the fact of the matter is, he was wore out. He had had all he could take. You say, what did he get? He needed to get alone with the Lord and let the Lord encourage him. And then the Lord tells him, oh yeah, by the way, you're not the only one. There's 7,000. There's still 7,000 people. Sometimes you think you're the only one going through something. You're the only one living for the Lord. You get that old woe is me going on. The Lord has to straighten you out. You're not the only one going through things, folks. I'm tired of people thinking they're the only one that has problems. I'm the only one that ever got sick. I'm the only one that ever lost their job. I'm the only one that my wife got mad at me. It's a big group of people. Everybody's got problems. It's not enough to quit. For some folks, that's all they want to do. They want an excuse. Get hold of the Lord just so they can lay it out and then quit. It's like getting hold of a boss and laying out the reasons why you're going to quit, and they're all ridiculous reasons, and then quit. Foolish. 1 Samuel chapter 30, last thing. You get a hold of the Lord when you're wore out, and once he can show you what's going on, he'll give you the strength to keep going. Notice that each one of these illustrations, someone getting a hold of the Lord, and the Lord giving them the strength to go forward. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and verse 1. Last of all, you need to get a hold of the Lord when you need some encouragement. Lord knows that the day and age we're living in, 2020, I'm tired of people thinking, I'm tired of this statement. I can't wait till 2021. It'll certainly be better. What gives you the idea that 2021 is going to be any better? And people think, well, I can't wait till 2020 is over. What gave you the idea it's going to get better? It might just get worse. Just live through 2020. Why is it? Nobody ever wants to live where they got them. Lord put you in a spot. Nobody's ever happy with where they're living. Oh, I wish I could go back. I wish I was born back in the 40s and 50s. That's the kind of person I want to be. That's foolishness. Just live where you're at. Sometimes you need to get hold of the Lord. You need to get some encouragement. We all need encouragement. All of us need to be built up. All of us need to keep going. 1 Samuel chapter 30, it came to pass, verse 1, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And taken the women captive that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake a stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself, and the Lord is God. Boy, he's in a bad shape. This is the man that had been leading them through countless victories and one defeat. It wasn't even a defeat. They're gone off fighting. Someone comes and gets them while they're not there, and they're ready to kill David. These people that fought with him and trusted him were ready to kill him because they were discouraged. So what's David do? He encourages himself in the Lord. He gets along with the Lord. You know, sometimes you have to lose everything for you to realize you need to get hold of the Lord. If you look at this passage here, when you look at verse 6 and verse 7, where David gets hold of the Lord, there's a point that we often miss. David said to Abiathar the priest, verse 7, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. It's been about a year and a half since David had gotten hold of the Lord. A year and a half. I want to ask you, when was the last time you got hold of the Lord? Sometimes I think we only get hold of the Lord when things get real grim. Why can't you just get hold of the Lord every day? Why not get up there and just shake him down so you can talk to him every day? Why is it that we got to lose everything? Why is it that everything has to fall apart till we realize we need the Lord? I mean, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and I'm glad he did. It's a wonderful verse. It's a wonderful illustration. But he lost everything. He didn't just lose his family. He lost his men's family. It wasn't even his fault. But might as well have been. They blamed him. He's discouraged. He realizes he has to get hold of the Lord. Listen, don't let your current state keep you from finding encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be able to find encouragement in the Lord no matter what you're going through. Sometimes it's just going to the Lord and getting down on your knees and praying and talking to him. The very fact that you can talk to God anytime you want should be enough to encourage you. I mean, nothing worse than someone tries to get hold of you and they say, well, I tried calling you and you didn't answer. I tried texting you and you didn't respond. I mean, I know, sometimes that happens. But you realize anytime you get hold of the Lord, He's always there. He's always listening. He's always responding. And He don't want you to have to get hold of Him when you lose everything. And thank God that it's in you to get hold of the Lord when you lose things. Praise the Lord. Because a lot of people don't. A lot of people lose and just go through great distress and never turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians. And they quit. And they just don't follow the Lord. It's amazing how many people just get so discouraged by their situation that they just quit the Lord. Instead of getting hold of Him. Instead of shaking heaven to get Him and just get some answers. I mean, you have to make it a point to get hold of the Lord, even if it's been a while. Maybe it's been a while since you've really tried to get hold of the Lord. That's okay. The Lord uses your circumstances for you to get hold of Him. Do you ever think that maybe the things you're going through are for the simple result for you to get hold of Him? For you to get closer to Him? I mean, you think about what's gone on this year and all the sorrow and all the trouble. Despite you get throw the virus out. What kind of emotional state are people in right now? And people have lost their jobs and people are discouraged. They can't see their family members. I mean, people are in the hospital and people are dying. You can't even go see your family. What a terror. I mean, you think you got it rough. There's a lot of stuff going on. You don't think the Lord uses those circumstances to get hold of you? To show you what He's doing? Sometimes you just need the encouragement. You say, well, the Lord didn't give me what I wanted. It doesn't matter. He listened. He was there. Now, I realize in the passage that David gets what he wants from the Lord. He not only gets the encouragement, he is able to get back everything that was lost. Matter of fact, he gets back then some. But isn't that the testimony of getting hold of the Lord? Maybe you got a testimony of getting hold of the Lord, but you haven't shared it with anybody. If you look on in this passage, David goes and they get victory. And you know what they do when they get victory over all their enemies? The Bible says that they go and they give to those people that stayed behind, weren't able to go to the fight. And then David goes back home and gives to all of those people there from Judah, and he gives them blessings. Didn't have to. You know what it was? It was a testimony of what God did. Maybe you need to get hold of the Lord and then let people know how you got hold of the Lord and what He did for you. Some of you have been selfish. Some of you got some testimonies of the Lord doing some stuff and you just keep it all clammed up, shut up. Nobody knows anything. And the Lord's done some great victories for you and you've just been silent. Well, maybe you could encourage somebody else. People say, well, I can't get hold of the Lord. I pray and nothing ever happens. That's a lie. Because you'll get hold of Him. You may not like the circumstances. Maybe you won't submit. Maybe you get hold of the Lord and you just won't submit to what He has to say. Maybe you'll get hold of the Lord and He'll just tell you to keep going. That's not the... You know what the problem is? Nobody likes the answers that the Lord gives them. Isn't that really how it is? I mean, ultimately, you get the answer, but you don't like the answer. So you go to someone else for another answer. And you know what you'll find if you ask enough people? They'll tell you what you want to hear. That doesn't mean it's so. That's the whole problem. You need to get hold of the Lord because you need some encouragement. And not only do you need encouragement, other people need encouragement. Other people need to see how the Lord's working in your life. What a testimony. David loses it all, gets it all back plus some, and then he goes and shares it with all the people there of Judah about what the Lord did. That's the problem with Christians today. They've got so much going on. The Lord has been so good to them, and they just keep it all just tight as a drum. And they don't talk about it. They don't talk about the goodness that the Lord has given them. The Lord, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you can't do that unless you get hold of Him. You can't do that unless you see what the Lord's doing. Yeah, there's a fight. There's a battle that had to ensue. David had to go back into the battle. The Lord just didn't bring all the stuff back. He had to fight for it. But you know what happens. He moves forward, and it begins to solidify himself as king. So when you get to 2 Samuel, you know the first people that make him king? Judah. I wonder why. Because they seen God's hand on him. So you get hold of the Lord, you'll be surprised what God will do, and you might be surprised how it'll affect other people. Maybe those people that you need to get a hold of and you need the Lord to really touch their heart, maybe if you would begin to show what the Lord's doing, it would make it softer for them when it's time to respond. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us together today, and thank you just for your book and for the simple fact that we can get hold of you. And Lord, I pray that these folks here, myself included, would constantly want to get hold of you. That, Lord, nothing is too great, nothing is too small, that your presence is needed in our life. We need to get victory over some things. We need some encouragement. It doesn't matter how great our life is. It doesn't matter how good you've been to us, Lord. We still need to get hold of you because your goodness sometimes isn't enough for us to get over some stuff. I don't know why it isn't. Lord, you think your love would be sufficient. And yet, Lord, you still want us to get hold of you so we can see your hand. And I pray for your people today, Lord. Maybe there's some things going on in their lives that they need some direction from you. They need to hear from you. And Lord, maybe they need to do some submitting. They need to do some self-evaluating. But Lord, just pray that they would realize the importance of getting hold of you and not quitting. Stay in the course. Sawyer.
Problem with us is that too often we're too proud to come and ask the Lord for help. We're too proud to ask somebody to pray for us, or too arrogant to recognize the fact that we're having a hard time and we need some help. And sometimes people don't want to come to the altar because they don't want other people to see them. Well, everybody has their eyes closed right now and is praying, so if you want to come ahead, just don't care about what somebody else is going to think. Just care about what the Lord thinks. Amen. And we're all sinners here, and we all have failed, and we all constantly continue to fail, and we're in this thing together, and we're here to help each other, and the Lord wants to help you, but the question is, will you let him? Other Christians want to help you, but the question is, are you going to let him? Or are you going to keep putting on that front that you're doing just fine? Maybe it's time some of you recognized some of the things going on in your life, and just like the Lord gave the answer to Hannah, gave her the victory, can do the same thing for me and you and each one of us. Sooner or later, we come to that place in our life when we need desperately to get a hold of God, or else we're just going to shrivel up and die spiritually. So many Christians, though, just want to play the game, just want to put on a suit and tie and come to church and pretend. The Lord knows your heart, and he wants to help you. Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I wonder when the last time some of you got down on your knees beside your bed and asked the Lord to help you and poured out your complaint to the Lord and recognize the things that were in your life and recognize the problems that you were having and ask the Lord for his help. He said, "Call unto me and I will answer you." So often we don't call. So often we just try to go ahead in our own strength. It's all up to us. The problem isn't with the Lord. The problem's with us. Lord, help us all, Lord, to see, recognize some things about ourselves, Lord, just like Jacob had to recognize some things about him when he got a hold of you, Lord. Just pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would have free course and that not a one of us would quench the Holy Ghost, Lord, but that we'd let him move in our life like we should, Lord. And Lord, we sure do appreciate all that you do for us. And we sure do appreciate, Lord, that even when we're so stupid and so bullheaded, Lord. You continue to work with us and continue to have patience with us, Lord. And we know that there's a time, Lord, when your mercy runs out, Lord, but it's not yet. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to, Lord, come to you quickly and not let you have to hurt us to get our attention. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get a hymnal. We'll sing 280.